Old song, huh? Sometimes it's good to have those old songs brought forth, just to hear them again. You know, Scripture speaks about songs and hymns and spiritual songs, and how they're an exhorter to us, and they can be. You think about the words that are in them. You know, you think about David and the Psalms and so forth, and sometimes it talks about a song being sung. You hear about people like Asaph and others and Korah, whatever, that are singing songs to the Lord. But good things, just praising God and thinking about the words that are given to you in that song to give a praise unto God and bring a remembrance forth about what God has done for you. Children of Israel sang songs, believe it or not. You know, after they were delivered from Egypt and Miriam took the tambourine and did all the stuff, you know, they sang. She sang a great prophecy about how God had delivered them. Go back and read it. She prophesied in the song. Very powerful things. So the songs can exhort us. They can help us. They can bring us to a remembrance of the things of God. And that's important. Hey, Jacob, I think I'm going to have you do some reading for me in case you have to use that mic, because we want this word to go forth over the recording here. I'm going to talk to you. We've been talking a lot about judgment, haven't we, about what it actually is. And let me go through a little question thing with you here right now. First, I'm going to ask you, what is death? Remember, Rick taught it to us. What is death? We think of death in a lot of different ways, but really the basic thing of death is, what is death? It's the carnal mind. Yeah, no understanding, the sin, the weakness, whatever, but it's the thought that really doesn't know anything about God, doesn't have the understanding of God. Death is the carnal mind. So when we talk about death and hell, is hell that manifestation of the thoughts and things that don't know God? Is there a body of damnation? Is there a damnation working? Yes, those things are working in us, and we have to overcome them, okay? So the judgment is not us looking at one another and judging how we look, where we go, how we speak, and whatever. We think that's what it is, and when we do that, we're putting ourselves in the place of God to judge, and all judgment's been given into the hands of the Son, okay? I'm going to read something to you here today that seems like that almost contradicts that, but you got to understand what's being said. So we're still talking a little bit about judgment. And who is this to first? So if you share in it, great. But it's God discerning things and working things out in my world. And to bring me to a place where God can do what he has prophesied to do. Okay? Why don't we go to John chapter 8. The Gospel of John. Chapter 8. And I may be stopping you frequently, Jacob. I'll just say hold up or stop or whatever, because there's something that we need to say. But just start at verse 12. Read the first couple of verses starting from 12, 13, 14 maybe.
John 8, 12. Then spake Jesus again unto them, saying, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. The Pharisees therefore said unto him, Thou bearest record of thyself, thy record is not true. Jesus answered and said unto them, Though I bear record of myself, yet my record is true, for I know whence I came and whither I go, but ye cannot tell whence I come and whither I go.
Stop for a minute there. So let me set something up for you here. So he's talking to the Pharisees gathered around, right? What had just happened before that? Anybody remember? Without looking at your thing there, what do you remember? What had happened just before that? There was a bunch of people that gathered some stones to render a judgment. Woman taken in adultery. And the whole deal is a setup anyway. But he said we caught her in the very act and all of this. But what you have to remember, there are Pharisees standing around as well as the people that they had urged to get the stones to stone the woman, right? And so all of this is, you know, working. Jesus comes. He says, he that is without sin cast the first stone. All of them left their stones, all these people that they had gathered together to do this, and walked away. And then he tells the woman, he says, where art thou, accusers? And she doesn't see, and he says, neither do I condemn thee. You know, because that's what the accusers were doing. What does the accuser do? He does what to you? He condemns you. And she said, neither do I condemn you. Now, he didn't say it was okay what she had done. He said, just go and sin no more. Is this mercy? Oh, man, is this mercy. Yeah, you're caught in it, and you don't know what you're going to do, and death is near. Remember, I just told you about this death. Death is very near. We keep thinking, okay, just because of the way they were stoned and all this stuff, there was a loss of life, but not like we think of. Remember, what realm are they in? They're in a terrestrial realm, aren't they? So the only thing we can compare it to is what we see here, right? But really, you're not going to kill that spirit in that person. You're just not going to do it. The spirits don't die, okay? They may fall asleep. They may do a whole bunch of other things. But still, it looks like a death, doesn't it? It's still the same that their bodies we're talking about, you know, whatever. It looks like a death. So that's how you're going to see it. You're going to see it as that. So even the writer, when he in Book of Acts, I guess they say Luke wrote it, but in the Book of Acts, he sees this act that happens to Stephen when Stephen is stoned, doesn't he? And Paul's holding the coats and so forth. I remember the witness that Dan gave about that dream he had with Noah and so forth. And part of the dream was, remember, he had the word of God. He had written it down. He was worried about what was going to happen to him. They took the papers and all of a sudden, I don't know if you remember everything that was in it. And he was worried about in the dream now whether or not he'd be able to bring this gospel forth, this word forth he had been shown. And then what happened, they took him into a place, a square, and cut his head off. Now he's watching this. See, this is the point I'm trying to make. So, yes, in their minds, that did happen. There was a death. There was a beheading. But God is showing him as a witness that he's watching this. Oh, see? See, this is how it works. And then he revealed to him, he said, it's in your heart, man. It's in you. It's in your spirit that word. You don't have to worry about whether it's written on papers. Isn't that true? That's just part of it. There was a whole lot more to that witness, but he realized he didn't need to have that written down, and how were they going to know, whatever. They're going to know because of him. He's going to be able to enter in and out amongst them. He's going to be able to baptize them into him. He's going to be able to do a whole lot of things that'll bring this word forth in their life. That's a witness, isn't it? That's a great witness. So the deal about the woman and so forth. Then I want you to catch something here that maybe you hadn't known before. Pharisees are still there. Because didn't you just read in the first couple of verses? They're still standing around. They're still there. So you may have thought this thing ended and everybody went away, whatever. No. Pharisees are still there. Read that first one again, Jacob 12.
Okay. Well, there's a transition there.
Yeah, there is.
She said, no man, Lord. And Jesus said unto her, neither do I condemn thee. Go and sin no more. Then spake Jesus again unto them, saying, uh-huh.
Ye judge after the flesh, I judge no man.
Oh, whoop, stop right there. So he said, you can't tell from whence I came and where I'm going. You can't. They didn't know that he came from heaven. He came from the Father. And he didn't know he was going to go back to the Father. They had no idea. They had no concept that this was the Messiah that was spoken so much of. They denied him being that, even though he performed miracles in front of them, the whole deal. Okay, so there was a denial of that. But later on, we're going to find out something else about this witness. He said, you bear record of yourself. He said, if I do it, I can bear record of myself. And he's going to explain why he's going to do it. But Jacob read another very important verse. I think it was verse 15, where it says, read 15 again. What does it say?
Ye judge after the flesh, I judge no man.
Ah. Ye judge after the flesh. And I'm just going to say this, guys, that's what we do. We judge things by a carnal mind. This is what we should not do. We should not judge anything by the flesh. And it's so common to us, and we do it so often, that sometimes we slip into it and don't even think about it. Am I right? And you judge circumstances, people, places, things, situations, and you're right in it. You're already judging it. You're already thinking about what you think about it, your perception of it. You see where I'm going with this? And so it's very important for you to start catching these things, okay? So he said, you judge after the flesh, right? Isn't that what he's telling them? Is he still addressing these Pharisees that are there? You judge after the flesh, but I judge what? Okay, what's he saying? What's he saying? Yes, and what else? Because all judgment has been given into the hands of the... But he said, I judge no man. There's a duality here. There's a duality here. What it is, he said, what he's really saying is, I judge the man of sin. Because I'm not judging you, Terry. I'm judging what's in you. You catch it? This is where we need to keep this in us. Where it's not about us. It's not like he's judging you, Seth. He's judging what's in you, and he wants to get that out. And he's the only one that can judge those spirits until he brings you to that place where you can. Isn't that true? So he says, I judge no man. Is he constantly judging the man of sin? Yes, he is. This is what we tell you all the time, that as he judges the man of sin, brings him forth, and you overcome what he's brought forth in you, then Christ rises in stature in you, doesn't he? See, this is very important. Is he an instrument, the man of sin? Yes, he is. Because every time God reveals him more and more and judges what he does, what's in there, Christ rises up and grows in wisdom and stature in you, Kiko. Every time. That's why we got to quit getting so scared when God shows us stuff. We say, oh, man, that's sinful. Oh, man, that's horrible. And we try to, okay, I'm getting out of this. Don't you? Don't you? And did you just judge it? You got to stop. Stop judging it. Let it be. What if Dan had judged that dream and said, okay, they're getting ready to behead me. No, I got to get out. I can't. No, no. I'm not going to let that happen. I got to get out of the dream. I got to do this. I got to do that. I'm going to go. I'm going to leave this. What would have happened if he hadn't sat there and looked and seen the deliverance of the Lord? He's seeing them behead him, and he's standing there looking at it. Isn't that powerful? That's powerful. Think maybe Stephen was standing there looking at what they were doing for stoning him? Remember, the heavens opened up and he saw Jesus on the right hand of God. What kind of place is he at? Yeah, that's why he said, hey, don't lay it to their charge. My spirit's going on. I'm still going to do what God said for me to do. Isn't that true? That's why he could say, don't lay it to their charge. He knew what he was going to do. He knew what God had done for him. This changes the whole thing, doesn't it? Now, here's the duality of it. God doesn't judge the man. He judges the spirit in the man, right? So even though all judgment's been given into the hands of the Son, is he judging you or what's in you? He's judging that stuff that's in you. That's why the devils tremble. They know God's judging. You see what I mean? It's going to be a perfect judgment too, isn't it? It's not going to be a false one. The duality of the thing is he's judging what's in you. But he's also judging no man at the same time, isn't he? He's doing both. In a way, you could say that, but here's the thing. The reality of removing the coats of skin, because God put us in that so we could do what? Why are we in it? Well, it's to learn. What would you say, Ernest? Why are we in the coat? Why did he clothe us with coats of skin?
When the Lord put Adam outside of the garden, he could not exist the same in that place that was out as he was when he was in. So
true.
The Lord put them in coats of skin for that place.
Okay, there's a duality here too. And what else? Do you have something, Claudette?
I was going to say, wouldn't it also be to show a separation?
Yes,
from
it
God?
Is. It's a separation, and he's going to show you what flesh really is. He's showing you what you have to overcome. come. Go ahead, Seth.
I was going to say, when it talks about that he given it a body as it's pleased him, is that's the body that they fell into, so that's why they had the coats of skin.
Yeah, and that it was a purpose to it. It's always, the whole thing was, what did it say in, there's a scripture coming to my mind, John 6:64. What does that say? It may be the wrong one, but let's see what it says. 664, or is it 864? I don't know which one. So try 664 first. No, that's not it. So try, is it 864? There's no 864 on there. Oh, you know the scripture that says the flesh is weak, but the spirit is willing? That's the one I'm looking for. I thought it was like 64 or 66 or something like that. I thought it was almost in that same area. Do Matthew.
Yo, whoever listens to it, they can't hear you. So it winds up being deleted.
Watch and pray that ye enter not into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. Matthew 26:41.
Yeah, so it's important that we understand that the flesh is what? It's weak. It's the weak part of us, isn't it? It's weak. But the spirit is, what does it say there? What is the spirit? Oh, it's willing, isn't it? It's indeed is willing. The spirit is willing, but the flesh is never willing to want to do that. It's always fighting against the spirit, isn't it? In Galatians 5, doesn't it say that? The flesh lusts against the spirit against the flesh. There's a war going on between those two, right? I'm talking about in us. And so this is what happens here. This is what God wants to bring forth. He wants us to understand. So it had to be put in something that you could understand that you're overcoming. See, you're overcoming that flesh. Jesus speaks about the flesh a lot. He does. He speaks about the spirit a lot. But when he talks about he judges no man, he's doing exactly what he said. He is judging no man. But he's not judging you as a man either. He's judging what's in you. We always have to remember that. The scripture says we're not appointed to wrath. When it says we're not, we're talking, the we is the ones that understand, are not appointed to wrath. We understand that. We understand that we're not appointed to wrath. We've come to a place of understanding, okay? But we know that there are things in us that will be appointed to wrath that God's going to have to bring up in a damnation, huh? Isn't that what the resurrection's all about? But even in that, does God leave it that way? Or does he say, as a son of man, you're going to go into those things that are in damnation and you're going to change them? Isn't that true? Even then, he doesn't leave it. Your ultimate goal and destiny is to become that apostle, that send, to be able to go in there and change all that. But it all has to be resurrected to be recognized, right? I'm talking about for you. God already knows it. But for you, what are you going to go get? What is God going to, when God tells you, go here and go there, I'm sending you here, you'll know exactly what he's talking about. You will. In your world, won't you? You will know exactly what he's talking about. This is why this scripture here is so powerful. So he said, I judge no man. Well, that would contradict what God just said a little while ago, that we learned that all judgment is given to the hands of the Son. You see what I'm getting at? So if you read that, you go by a carnal mind, you say, oh, wait a minute, there's a mistake here, or something's gone wrong here. Or this is that maybe I don't quite, you know, I'm trying to understand something that maybe it's a little too hard for me to understand. No, God's telling you exactly what he's doing. Now go on and read after that.
And yet if I judge, my judgment is true.
Ah.
For I am not alone, but I am the Father that sent me. It is also written in your law that the testimony of two men is true.
Stop right there. So, when Jesus told them before, he says, if I do give my own what? What did he say? What did they tell him? Your own testimony, my own witness, my own record. And he says, if you give your own record, it's not true. Because they knew something in the law. One man. You couldn't do it with one man, right? So what does he say? He comes right back to the law and tells them what?
I am one that bear witness to myself, and the Father that sent me beareth witness of me.
Yeah, and it says, and even in your law.
It is also written in your law that the testimony.
Why do you say your law? It's the law of God. Why do you say your law? It's their perception of God's law, wasn't it? Because they had been condemning people in it, killing people in it. Think about it. They were getting ready to stone that woman, right? They had been condemning and killing people, bringing them to death of their perception of what the law said, right? So he said, in your law. That's just like that Pharisee that was praying and the publican comes in. And he said, he prayed thus with himself, because he sure wasn't praying to God. He thought he was, right? Same thing here. Your law. It wasn't my law that did that. My law, if you interpret it right, you would see how this would work. You see how he's saying? But he said, in your law does it not say. So he's even using their law, their interpretation, to prove what they need to. They're saying, you can't give record of yourself. Say, yes, I can. Me and my Father can. We're two witnesses. So read that part again.
It is also written in your law that the testimony of two men is true. I am one that bear witness to myself, and the Father that sent me beareth witness of me.
Wow. How much greater is that, Kiko? Who else can you get greater witness as the Father? You can't get nothing no greater than that. They did it with men, and they thought that was big time. What if you do it with the God, the creator of the heavens and the earth? Said, yeah, I'll witness to him. He's my son. And the son said, y'all witness to him. He's my dad. Okay, what you going to do with that? What are you going to do with that? Now keep reading.
Then said they unto him, where is thy Father?
Oh, now they're going to change the subject, huh? See, he says, the Father bear record. He said, now show us. Come on, where's your Father at? Keep reading.
Jesus answered, ye neither know me nor my Father. If ye had known me, ye should have known my Father also.
Oh, my God. He doesn't answer their question. He brings forth a statement to make them look back at themselves and say, if you had known him, you would have known. And you would have known me. See, this is the whole key. Jesus came and he always testified of the Father. I only do what the Father tells me to do. Only speak what the Father tells me to speak. Only perform what the Father tells me to perform. He said it constantly. Yet they overlooked that. They looked at him as a man. This is powerful, guys. And he's telling them the whole time. One place he tells them, I and my Father are one. Another place he tells Philip, when you see me, you see him that sent me. You know, when you're talking about the Father, I am the Father, Philip. Have I been so long with you? You see what I mean? There's all kinds of things he says over and over again. So he's going to say something in this just chapter too. Keep reading.
It says, these words spake Jesus in the treasury as he taught in the temple, and no man laid hands on him, for his hour was not yet come. Then said Jesus again unto them, I go my way, and ye shall seek me, and shall die in your sins. Whither I go, ye cannot come. Then said the Jews, will he kill himself? Because he saith, whither I go, ye cannot come.
Stop. How did they look at it? He's going to commit suicide. I'm going to a place that you can't come with me. What, you going to kill yourself, man? Why did their mind go there instead of where he was trying to take them? Their law. See? And he's going to say in another place later, he said, why don't you understand my speech? Because they're certainly misinterpreting this, aren't they? Is this a misinterpretation of what he said? Where I go, you can't come. I'm going to go away. You can't come there. You can't come there because you're still full of sin. Hell is still riding in you. You see how this works? You can't come to the place I'm going to, man. There has to be a change. There has to be a repentance, doesn't there? Something has to change before you can come. But he said, he's going to tell them later on, well, you ain't going to come because you ain't going to change. Basically is what's going to happen. Keep reading.
And he said unto them, ye are from beneath, I am from above. Ye are of this world, I am not of this world. I said therefore unto you that ye shall die in your sins. For if ye believe not that I am he, ye shall die in your sins.
Stop. This is very powerful. Did he make a judgment then? Who can make a judgment? The Son. He can make that judgment, huh? except you believe that I am he, you will die in your sins. Is he telling them they're going to die in their sins? Oh, most assuredly. He just prophesied, guys. You ain't going to accept me. You're not going to do anything I ask you to do. You have hatred toward me. You do everything you can. In fact, you're going to try and kill me. So how are you going to change? How is it going to change for you with this mindset that you have? Remember Brian talked about the mindset? What mindset are they in? They're in a mindset of murder. They're in a mindset of temptation. They're in a mindset of trying to trip you up. They're in a mindset of condemnation. They're in a mindset of saying, we are greater and you are lower. He said, no, let me explain this thing to you. I'm from above. You're from beneath. You may think you're in a higher place. You're not. You haven't been to the place I've been to, and that's why I said you can't come. I'm going back from whence I came. You can't come because you're not in that place. Keep reading, Jacob. This is powerful.
And said they unto him, who art thou? And Jesus saith unto them, even the same that I said unto you from the beginning, I have many things to say and to judge of you.
Oh, wait a minute. Many things to say and what?
To judge.
Judge of you. He's giving you an example. He should be the one to judge, Kiko. Period. Not you. Because if you do, you're going to be like the Pharisee. I'm talking about even about yourself and your world. You're going to make things better for yourself according to your thought, your perception. No, don't judge any. Why don't you let God judge and show you what you really are? Because he may reveal a devil hiding there. Isn't that true? Or he may reveal there's an angel speaking to you. But you don't know either way because you don't understand yet. You see where I'm going with this? Let him reveal it. Let him judge it and tell you what it is. Does that make sense? Keep going.
But he that sent me is true.
Wow.
And I speak to the world those things which I have heard of him.
Speak to the what?
The world.
So who's he addressing?
The world.
Your world. I speak to the... Well, don't gloss over that when you read that. Don't gloss over that when you think about it. He's speaking to your world. You need to preach the gospel to your world? How do you think you're going to be helped to do that? Where do you think that gospel is going to come from? Is it going to come from him speaking to your world? From in you? Isn't that true? He's going to help you overcome that. And he wants to make you like him. Wow. Keep going, Jacob.
They understood not that he spake to them of the Father. Then said Jesus unto them, when ye have lifted up the Son of Man, then shall ye know that I am he, and that I do nothing of myself, but as my Father hath taught me, I speak these things. And he that sent me is with me. The Father hath not left me alone, for I do always those things that please him.
What? I always do everything that does what?
Please him.
Okay. What if I told you that if you keep judging, you're not pleasing God and you're delaying yourself? Let's take it to there now. You keep judging things, you're not pleasing God. Because he's showing you he's the judge. And he's judging things, isn't he? That's not you yet. That's where you need to be. This is what God's trying to bring you to. You see what I'm saying? So this is a very important thing. Don't judge anything before the time. That's said for a reason, guys. Don't. Let's start catching ourselves in judgment. Husband judges wife. Wife judges husband. Parents judge children. We judge one another in the body. We judge how we talk. We judge how we move. We judge where we go or what we're going to do. We put thoughts into people saying, I know what you're thinking, when you don't know what they're thinking. You think you do. So you judge according to that. You compare. You change things and times and places and seasons. You even judge yourself. Some of you judge yourself even to the point of not being fit for the kingdom of God. Think about it. Sometimes you've condemned yourself because of that, because of what you thought you did wrong, not understanding what the sin truly is. It's against God and not what you thought it was here. Lots of things. We can go on with a list for a long time. Stop doing it. Very important thing. Keep going.
As he spake these words, many believed on him. Then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on him, If ye continue in my word, then are ye my disciples indeed. And ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free.
That's great, isn't it? If you continue in the things of God, nothing but truth will come. What did Jesus tell Pilate? He said, I am what? I'm truth. Truth was standing. He said, what is truth? It's right standing in front of him, man. What is it? Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Somebody said that earlier, just a few minutes ago. Isn't that what it is? So if he's truth, then what is it that we should be promoting? Truth. We should be promoting Jesus in our life. We should be allowing Jesus to speak to our world and change it and regenerate it. That's what we should be allowing it to do. Not judging things in our world, which is what we do a lot of. We judge things that we see in them. We judge the images that come to us. We judge everything. How we think, what we're doing at the time. We judge it. Dream comes, you already immediately start, okay, yeah, well, now I know what that means right there. Ooh, yeah, maybe I'm messed up here. Maybe you didn't even give the dream time to come so that God can do what he's going to do with it. You're already interpreting it. You're already judging it according to the flesh. You got to stop that mess, man. Stop. Let God do what he's going to do. He's going to show you great things. Keep going.
They answered him, We be Abraham's seed, and were never in bondage to any man. How sayest thou, ye shall be made free? Jesus answered them, Verily, verily, I say unto you, whosoever committeth sin is a servant of sin.
Wow.
And the servant abideth not in the house forever, but the son abideth ever.
What is he making a distinction here? Huh? The son abideth forever, but if you keep messing up that sin thing, you're not going to abide in the house. There's no way you're going to abide in the house. Right? Keep going, Jacob.
If the Son therefore shall make you free, ye shall be free indeed. I know that ye are Abraham's seed, but ye seek to kill me, because my word hath no place in you.
Stop. So he said they're seeking to kill him because there's no place to be found for the word in them. In other words, they didn't receive it. They didn't believe it. Now, are there thoughts sometimes you don't believe? Has there been things that come into your world and you didn't receive it? Wow. Think about it. So this is what God is trying to show us here. Receive everything that comes from God. You say, but it looks ugly. It looks bad. It even looks sinful. Yeah, it might be. He may want you to experience that so you know what it is, so that you can overcome it. Remember what we said about, I judge no man. He's judging no man. So he has to bring that to you and show you what it is. He may have to bring Jezebel to you and show you what she's like. No. Wait a minute. How are you going to ever know what she's like if he doesn't bring you for that? He'll keep you in that and get the experience of overcoming her. And then you say, here we go. Here we go. Everything's not going to always be pretty and wrapped up in a little bow for you when it comes to you. Think of, that's what I put it that way. It's not going to be that way. Sometimes the ugliest thing will come to you. I'm still thinking about them. Oh, they're going to behead me. Ooh, look at that axe. They got my head down there. Ooh, he's feeling everything too and seeing it. Head rolls off. Very powerful, guys. And he's standing there like, wow, they beheaded me. Isn't that cool? You got to let it come forth. You got to let it come forth, guys. God's going to show you some great things, okay? Just don't yield to sin. Observe what God's showing you, what he's bringing to you. And then he's going to bring you a way to overcome it. Remember, this is the promise. In the world shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer, I have overcome the world. So is that a promise to you? If he's overcome it and he's in you, will he help you to overcome that world that's in you? Yes. He's warning you ahead of time. It's going to be tribulation. In other words, it's going to be trouble. Right? It'll be troubling things. Troubling things. So when it's troubling things, let your ears perk up, let your eyes perk up, because God may be ready to show you something right then. perk up, come on, awake. Because he may be showing you something right then. He's not showing you how sinful you are. Ooh, that's an ugly thought. That's a terrible thought. Oh, God, I'm a sinner. No. He's showing it to you so you can overcome it. Does that make sense? Quit judging it and let it come. Go ahead, Jacob. I know it's a long reading, but can you get something out of this?
38. I speak that which I have seen with my father, and ye do that which ye have seen with your father.
Whoa, two fathers, huh? Two fathers. Keep going.
They answered and said unto him, Abraham is our father. Jesus saith unto them, if ye were Abraham's children, ye would do the works of Abraham. But now ye seek to kill me, a man that hath told you the truth, which I have heard of God. This did not Abraham.
Oh, wow. What a difference, huh? See, they claimed Abraham as their father, and they understood the things God did with Abraham by faith. They used to tell the stories to their children. They did all of that. But when something comes that's supposed to do like Abraham did, they reject it because they have their own perception, right? They judged it, right? Did they judge Jesus as a usurper, a wine bibber, a liar, that he's full of devils? They actually said one time, or it may be even this one here, said, you're full of devils. Didn't they say that to him? Keep going.
Ye do the deeds of your father. Then said they to him, we be not born of fornication. We have one father, even God. Jesus saith unto them, if God were your father, ye would love me. For I proceeded forth and came from God. Neither came I of myself, but he sent me. Why do ye not understand my speech?
Ooh.
Even because ye cannot hear my word. Ye are of your father the devil, and the lust of your father ye will do. He was a murderer from the beginning, and abode not in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he is a liar and the father of it.
So is lying his native tongue? Lying is it? In other words, can he tell the truth? No. Does that make sense? If he can't tell the truth and he's speaking to you, what do you think you're receiving? Lies and untruth. You're a liar. And God knows a lot of us have taken those things in because he said all men are liars. We've taken some of that in. So he says this is what you have to get out of. And you got to do it by the truth. But can you imagine how the Pharisees felt when Jesus said, you are of your father, the devil? He's a murderer. He just breaks it down to them. And they're standing there. I don't think they took that too well at all. Because later on, you're going to find out, man, we got to kill this guy. We got to kill him. You see? But even that's part of the plan of God, Kiko. Keep going.
And because I tell you the truth, ye believe me not. Which of you convinces me of sin? And if I say the truth, why do ye not believe me? He that is of God heareth God's words. Ye therefore hear them not, because ye are not of God.
There you go. He that is of God hears God's words, right? Is that the ear to hear? Yes, it is. Something will catch you. Something caught Nicodemus, didn't it? He heard him somehow and came to him by night. Wait a minute, you said something. You see what I mean? What made him come, Terry? What made him brave the elements, so to speak, the elements being the other Pharisees and Sadducees? What braved him being ostracized by them and whatever, kicked out of the whole organization, everything, to come see Jesus? There was something he wanted to know. He had heard something that caught him. And whether you know it or not, he became a disciple. Him and Joseph of Arimathea begged the body of Jesus. They didn't care no more about who knew that he was following them. See, Nicodemus changed. That's what he wanted all them to do, is change. I'm speaking the truth to you. Why don't you understand it? Because they refuse to understand it. There's a difference, huh? Keep going.
Then answered the Jews and said unto him, say we not well that thou art a Samaritan and hast a devil?
Ooh.
Jesus answered, I have not a devil, but I honor my Father, and ye do dishonor me.
There you go. How did they dishonor him? What'd they just say? He has a devil. They said, you're a Samaritan. That shows you how they considered Samaritans too. That's why the story of the Good Samaritan is in the Bible. They consider them like devils. If a man has a right heart, will Christ come and meet him? Did Christ come to save Gentiles too? Oh, most assuredly. Even mixed ones, because that was a mixture of a Jewish and Gentile thing, thought. But he came to save them, didn't he? His own disciples said, can we bypass this place? He said, no, I must needs go to Samaria. He didn't say it this way, but I'm going to say it this way. There's a woman there I got to meet at the well and tell her who I really am. He said, he that your fathers talked about, that Messiah, I am he that speaketh to you. One of the few times Jesus comes straight out and he did it to a woman that's considered bad. Many husbands and somebody else's husband too. And yet he spoke truth to her. You think Jesus could see something in her? I know he could. And she ran back into that village and told the whole village about what he had said. And a whole village came out. I like the testimony of the men after you've been with them for a while. And they heard him speak. They said, you told us about this man, but you didn't tell. The half hasn't been told what this man says. This is something what he is talking about. They had to testify. It was magnificent what God was speaking to them. They said, you didn't tell the half of it, woman. This is the Messiah, truly. Isn't that cool? It's amazing. And it was a people that the Jews rejected that accepted him. Very powerful. Keep going.
And I seek not mine own glory. There is one that seeketh and judgeth. Verily, verily, I say unto you, if a man keep my saying, he shall never see death. Then said the Jews unto him, now we know that thou hast the devil. Abraham is dead, and the prophets, and thou sayest, if a man keep my saying, he shall never taste of death.
So it was a misunderstanding there, isn't there? There is no understanding of the things of God. Isn't that true? Is Abraham in you? Yeah. Are the prophets in you, Ernest, you think? Yeah. I know they are. They're in you. Is there a Moses in you, you think? Is there a Hezekiah and a Isaiah? You think they're in you? Yeah, they're in you. Is there a Joseph like we talked about this morning? Your story. Is it in you? Yeah, it's in you. Is there a Noah? Yeah. But there's also an Adam too, isn't there? Yeah, see? This is what God's trying to show us. He is dividing these things, separating them like Claudette said, so we can understand what he's talking about. That's what it's about, Kiko. Not for us to judge it, but for him to teach us. Bring understanding. Keep going, Jacob.
Art thou greater than our father Abraham, which is dead, and the prophets are dead? Whom makest thou thyself? Jesus answered, if I honor myself, my honor is nothing. It is my Father that honoreth me, of whom ye say that he is your God. Yet ye have not known him, but I know him. And if I should say, I know him not, I shall be a liar like unto you.
Ooh.
But I know him and keep his saying.
Yes.
Your father Abraham rejoiced to see my day, and he saw it and was glad. Then said the Jews unto him, thou art not yet 50 years old, and hast thou seen Abraham? Jesus said unto them, verily, verily, I say unto you, before Abraham was, I am.
Oh, my God. They knew those words of Moses. You know, when Moses asked him, well, Lord, who should I say sent me to him when I go talk to Pharaoh? He said, you tell him I am that I am sent you. Do you remember that? He said, and then what does Jesus say? Before Abraham was,
I am.
I'm that same God that you revere so much in Moses. They used to tell those stories about the plagues and stuff and how God helped them to overcome and all that. It's just big time stuff to them, but it's a fable to them. You know why? Because they don't believe it in truth. When the truth came to them, they rejected it. And he told them before Abraham was, I am. I am that I am. This is powerful, guys. This whole eighth chapter is powerful. Him judging no man is going to save you. Isn't that true? Him judging no man is going to save you. In your world, he's judging them all the time. So what are you doing judging? Quit judging. You're just messing up the program. Let him judge it. It'll be very cool. I think there's a little bit more.
Then took they up stones to cast at him. But Jesus hid himself and went out of the temple, going through the midst of them, and so passed by.
Oh, my God. So they want to murder him now. Isn't that true? Didn't they want to do it to the woman at the beginning of the chapter? Now they're coming back and want to murder him because of what he said. So here we go, picking up stones again. You see where this comes from? A stone is a type of rebuke, guys. You know that, right? So they're going to pick up stones and just rebuke him to death because they don't like what he said. But I love this. And he hid himself and just passed right through the midst of them. That's amazing. We think of it in human terms, like he's passing through a bunch of men. He passed right through those thoughts, right through all of those things, that spirit. He is spirit, guys. There is nothing that can hold him unless he allows it to hold him. It's as simple as that. And he passed right through the midst of them, right through the midst of them. He went right on through them. And they couldn't even tell where he was. He was in them trying to speak the word, and they did not recognize it. But they did recognize that they wanted to kill him. Go ahead, Claudia.
In the midst of them, Abraham would have saw him, but the others would not because they didn't believe.
Oh. Hey, you know, this is the thing about it. He tells them before Abraham was, I am. I was there before Abraham. I'm the one that brought Abraham forth and sent my angels to tell him to go to a land that I'll show you. Isn't that true? That's all Jesus, man. That's the angel of the Lord doing all of that, who he is. Think about this. So even if, here's something that I think about. Remember the rich man that was in hell? And he says, oh, go tell my brothers not to come to this place. Oh, my God, I'm tormented in this place. Because there's a difference between death and hell, okay? And I'm tormented in this place. He said, they have what? They have Moses. They have the prophets. They have all. And who's he looking across in the gulf that's up there? Isn't Abraham, Lazarus in Abraham's bosom? So Abraham's present too, huh? Think about this, present. So this is so powerful. If you understand what God is saying to you now and what he wants to do in your world, you'll speak with Abraham too. You will. You'll speak to Moses. God's trying to show you something, guys, in your world, because they're all there. And you'll have a testimony of seeing them and speaking to them. Remember when Gary was here and he wrote about all those angels over each one? Remember he listed all those prophets and all this? I said, look at it. This is an angel. This is an angel. This is an angel. Remember when he did that? Put the marks on it? Think they commune with your angel? Think they can? Yeah. They can. And they're waiting on something too, huh? Doesn't mean they don't have an angel, just because they're waiting on something. Because there's a resurrection you're going to perform for them, right? When you get resurrected, what are you going to bring with you? You'll bring them. They're waiting on the altar. How long, Lord? They're waiting on you to get it together, guys. They're waiting on you to quit judging as a delay, because it delays you, and they want, okay, this thing will come to pass now. Then we don't have it written up anymore, but then you're going to submit. You're going to submit to the things of God. And then it says you're going to commit. It says if you commit your ways to through the Lord, he'll establish your thoughts. And doesn't it say that? Isn't that part of Gary's testimony? Yes, it is. You'll have the same testimony because you come to the point where you have committed everything to God. Does that make sense? Everything. You're not going to hold anything back. So my last caveat here to you again, be very aware of judgment. Don't judge anything. And here's something that you may not realize also. When you do judge by the flesh, then there's a second part that comes. Let me take an example. You judge somebody, say, I just had an argument with them. They're just, they're no good. They always do this. That's what happens all the time. And I remember 10 years ago you did this. And then I remember this and this. And I remember, it doesn't stay where it's at when you judge. Because you know what it is? It's the flesh doing it. Or it brings it to you. You say, I remember when I did this. Oh, I remember when I did that. And then you fall into a condemnation. Isn't that true? It never stops at the first thing. It just goes, then it starts adding to it. You understand where I'm going? It is. It enlarges itself. It adds to it and adds to it. And then you wonder, how did I get here? How did I get here? See? And then you say, gosh, can I ever get out of here? Uh-oh, then hope is being lost now. You see what I'm saying? So now is your hope going down? You see how it's all interrelated? Then your hope starts to change. am I going to be able to, oh man, I got so much again. Look at all this that's in front of me. You get overwhelmed by what's in front of you. You're not going anywhere. I'm just telling you, stop. Just start keeping it in your mind. Be aware. Stop judging. Stop it. Don't. When you feel yourself going into a judgment, don't judge it. Allow God to show you everything that you need to be shown. Let him be the guide. Remember he said, I'm that light that you were reading about? It's a light. So I'll let the light show you where to go. Does that make sense? That's good stuff. I would urge all of you to read that 8th chapter of St. John again. There's so much more in that. It's amazing, but I want you to read it. But the thing is that 15th verse, remember that. I judge no man. Think about what he's saying. Anybody have any questions for me?